Hello and welcome to another episode of Father and Joe. I'm Joe Rocky here with Father Boniface Six. And Father, I'm going to be presenting something here that I think makes sense to me. But what I have found is when I have things that make sense to me is if I don't start with the underlying assumptions that I made, I can lose people along the way here. And I just wanted to kind of start with that as the game set. So the first assumption that I have is that God wants us to succeed in doing his works and in doing what he has told us to do through the Bible. So that's my first assumption. He wants us to win. It's not a trick of a rigged game or something like that. There's actually an assumption that we can do this and he wants us to do it. The second assumption is that doesn't mean that it's easy. I think that's kind of a given that we've been able to do 300 plus episodes here so far. And where I'm getting into the it's not easy part is that sometimes things get explained to us that become obvious after we see an image and see it, but in the moment and for generations, it's missed. And to give an example for that, in the Sistine Chapel when I was there, in the background behind God as he's touching the finger, for years people just thought it was a pink blob and it didn't really make sense to anyone until a brain surgeon was in there one day in the 90s was like, oh, that's a brain. Like, everyone knows that. Like, look at it. But for hundreds of years, it was lost. Like what it was just like a cool background type thing. And I say this to say because the Bible was obviously written many generations ago. And I think that there's just some ways of thinking about things and looking at things that are different. And I'm going to bring up one specific example here because this is the what this always leading to in my thought process here. And this is when Jesus says you need to act and look as if a child to truly become dependent upon God. And one of the things that I have been doing and just learning and reading about is the development of minds. And one of the things with people is that your, I don't want to use right side and left side brain because that's kind of a misnomer, but your logic that's constantly making you think, do your actions, that side of your brain basically develops your entire life. But the part that people call their subconscious, which, you know, regulates things like breathing and eyesight and stuff like that, that's estimated to max out somewhere around when you're 8 years old. And all of this information I have cobbled together here to the thought process of saying, I think that's what Jesus is trying to tell us, to think through that part of our brain that is more sensory driven and more, quite frankly, accepting than trying to overanalyze and dig into logic with every single thing when it comes to God. That might be a very long way to be wrong, and I acknowledge that that's up front. You're shaking your head like I might be. So Father, I want to give you the floor here because those were some dots that I was kind of working with, putting together in my learnings there, and just wanted to see if there's any validity to it.
I think it's great. The way that we characterize these things is a little different in different settings, you know, right brain, left brain. We've talked a little bit, I think, about internal family systems and we talk about a self or the innermost self, and the scripture uses that phrase at times. In the Greek we sometimes talk about the nous, N-O-U-S, and that as opposed to the, my mind just went blank about that. I want to use the Latin there, ratiocination. So the logic compared to the more intuitive, the rationalizing compared to the more intuitive. So we characterize those things in different ways. And I think some of that boils down to the way that we know in this life is more through love than through logical deduction. not to say that they're opposed to each other or that they, you know, there is also a synergy there between them. But the fact is that we are able to penetrate heaven through love in a way that we are not able to penetrate through thinking. Mm-hmm. And the only way we penetrate heaven through thinking is through faith. And that's basically just faith in what God has revealed to us about himself, that he is three persons in one God, that Jesus Christ is true God and true man, that he has this plan of salvation that culminates on the cross, and that he continues to give himself to us in the Eucharist. Those are some examples of things that we know by faith, not by thinking. But we only know those truths in a kind of dark way. We have a couple of facts to work with, and then we try to draw some conclusions around them, but we only get so far with that. But it's a little bit like the difference between knowing a person and knowing about a person. We know a person in a deeper way than we can put into words. We can't reduce that kind of loving knowledge to words. At the same time, sometimes we are able to describe a person and their qualities, and that helps us to grow in love with them and helps other people to grow in love with them even more. So again, it's not that they're opposed to each other, but loving knowledge takes us farther than words, than thinking does. And that's true in really in every aspect of life. And it's certainly true in the realm of the divine. And so intuitive, you know, the problem with that kind of knowledge is that it's hard to communicate to others. So if it were just a matter of me having a good intuition and getting a lot of insight about things, but I were never able to think or use words enough to let other people into my insights, then that would be very limited. And so God gives us the chance to do both, although we can only communicate a certain amount of that knowledge. That's why, you know, one of the things we talk about in terms of our faith is like having a personal relationship with Jesus or having a personal knowledge of God or coming to this place of intentional discipleship where you really know God personally. And then how can I make you know God personally? Well, I can't. I can tell you about God, but then you have to come to know him personally on your own. I can't do that for you. And that's where the surrender of, you know, the will along with the intellect in this kind of different knowing and a more intuitive knowing, a more loving knowledge is really makes a great difference. And so the other way that makes a difference is, you know, the person who is incapable of speaking because they're paralyzed or because their mind is limited, because they're dying or because they never had the mental capacity, may still have the capacity for deep, intimate knowledge, loving knowledge of a person, can form deep bonds of love with a person. So, you know, the boy with Down syndrome who can't pass a math exam may have a very deep loving knowledge of God in a way that the greatest genius who can pass all the math exams doesn't. And so that's actually a really important point in our faith is it doesn't depend on IQ. It mm-hmm. doesn't depend on logic. It doesn't depend on left brain things. To know God, to love him, to receive his help, to be in an intimate communion with him, to become a saint. What does require logic and knowledge and speaking and words is the capacity to communicate him to others, to share faith, and to engage others in a process of growing in faith.
And I think that's something that's a very well said. It makes a whole lot of sense. And one of the thoughts that came to me as I was preparing for this and thinking about this topic was, it seems in general, and I don't know if this is a modern times thing or maybe if people have always been this way. So I'd start with that unknown factor. But it seems in general that people can communicate through the logic side of the brain pretty well. We can write stuff down. We can share formulas, equations, whatever, recipes, you know, through generations. You can go cook what your grandmother cooked and basically have it taste the same way, right? But through the sensory input of us, we don't know how to share that or receive that. you can have three people witness the same event and get three different interpretations of what happened as this example of exactly what I'm talking about here. And I bring this up kind of going back to the starting point of one of my assumptions here, is that God wants us to succeed, but we're starting from a standpoint of, we don't even sense things when we're in the same moment together. How can we really figure out how to do this? And I think the answer I was getting towards, and this may be right or wrong, is that there is no one way to do this. There is no one way that victory looks correct. It's not like winning a race. First guy past the line does it. Okay, that's very straightforward. We all can see that. But there's no, this was right. You know what I mean? And I think that for me personally, I wish that wasn't the case. Sometimes I just wish it was like a recipe. Do this, do this, do this, do this. Awesome. And rinse and repeat. And that's kind of, I guess, what I'm trying to get into, because that's where I'm at in this thought process of trying to experience life, I guess, is the way of saying that.
Well, it's much more in our own control when we can do that. The problem is it's also much more limited. So the things that we can actually boil down into a recipe aren't worth that much. It doesn't work for a business, let alone for a relationship with an infinite person, right? So, and that's one of the reasons, science does a great deal of good in establishing truths based on a methodology that's observable and repeatable. And so we have a high level of confidence in the truths that science speaks to us, but those truths are quite limited in their value. So they can get a man to Mars, but they can't heal a marriage relationship. They can find oil in the center of the earth, but they can't actually help a baby to become a healthy human being, the things that science can tell us, which are significant and important, and we should, just like with our logic, when we put our heads together, the kind of information that's communicable that we can pass down from generation to generation is significant and meaningful, but it's not the most important things. And heaven far surpasses it. All of this knowledge that we're able to come together to bring together is like so much straw. I mean, it's just infinitesimal compared to the majesty of God. The majesty of God is really captured through love, and the love that is eternal and eternally fruitful, and from which all of this truth obviously also flows forth. But yeah, so we always would like a logical process, a recipe, some way to reduce it into our own categories and keep it within our own control. Those things are most comfortable for us. But the things that matter the most in life are precisely when we step out of some of those spaces and take a risk, when we're vulnerable and enter into the intimacy of a relationship, when we're willing to trust and open ourselves to a truth that we couldn't have come up with on our own, which is really beyond us but can be shared with us. And those spaces are most fruitful, most meaningful.
And absolutely. That's a very good way of putting it, how it would be limiting and all of that, essentially only catering to part of us rather than the whole of us, which is kind of what the faith is ultimately open to do, is open to the whole totality of the human experience. And Father, since we're on this whole two sides of your brain and all of that, one of the things that came up, which kind of is what got me into wanting to learn about in the first place, is that science is kind of being able to show that a lot of pains that people are having, particularly back pain, is essentially a result of you not listening to both parts of your mind, for lack of a better way of saying it. Your logic side is trying to suppress the creative side, or vice versa, depending upon how you want to phrase that. And you have always been great at teaching people how to dive into the past with different issues that unfortunate things that happened when we were younger in life, depending upon younger being yesterday or younger being many years ago. And it seems that you're going to have some type of knowledge about how to reconcile this, because essentially my understanding of what the science is saying is your side of the brain that doesn't control the logic controls your pain sensors, and that's how it tells you you're doing something wrong. You're either not enjoying whatever you're doing, so it's giving you pain so you don't go. The urge procrastination, they believe, is tied to this, and all kinds of things. So I want to see if we can spend a minute about how to get more in touch with that, because I believe if we can complete that pathway, it gets us back to what I believe the original Bible verse I was trying to talk about was, which was looking through the eyes of a child, and we have the ability to do that as adults. So if that can be done, I'd love to know how, because that's the part I've never really got a good answer from these science papers.
Nice. Yeah, I think the idea would be that children are more immediately in touch with that part of their brain, which does certainly develop, but the logical side is developed later. The capacity to reason is developed later, and so in some ways our capacity to suppress is developed later. The reasoning side, the logical side, being in our heads, as we usually describe that, is safer for us. It's less vulnerable than the more emotional, intuitive side that also seems to capture our real self more fully. And so we tend to defend ourselves with that more logical, achievement-oriented, earning, striving. So a lot of those kinds of structures we use as defenses, really, to keep ourselves out of places that are harder to get into. So what opens up that other side is more trust, vulnerability, intimacy. And we don't really do that well alone. Those are all relational things. And so I think being in relationships with people where we really reveal our hearts, where we share our pain, where we share our struggle, where we're vulnerable and can be received in that, that's going to open up more of that side of our brain. And yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense, that we would get more in touch with what we're feeling. A lot of times what we're feeling also has a kind of location in the body, and getting used to locating in the body the things that we're feeling is a growth towards self-awareness, and can bring a lot of healing to us. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that it's a tremendous thing to take into our lives, because, you know, people can suffer from these various ailments that we all discuss. And it's really a warning system from our bodies saying, hey, look into this. And oh, by the way, as you do this, you're going to become closer and better at your relationships, and you're going to be in less physical pain without having to take pharmaceuticals. Seems like a win-win across the board here, as a topic to dive into and practice across the board. So we hope that everyone enjoyed this. Please share this episode if you know anyone out there who is suffering from any of those types of pains. And like I said, we want to help people. We are growing immensely. We thank all of you for being there. And again, if you haven't, please leave a star review on whichever platform you're listening. It helps immensely, and you can be part of our accelerant of growth moving forward. Thank you.